WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of Current Sports on this Wednesday, December 17th. We've got a hot show in store for you, just like we always do. Now, in just a moment, I'll be chatting with one inspirational athlete, folks. I covered her a little bit when she was here at Michigan State. She's a former Michigan State women's golfer who is now going on to have some great success outside of mid-Michigan here, and has actually earned her LPGA partial status, folks, to possibly play on the tour. How about that, folks? Liz Nagel will join me on the show to talk about how she's been performing on the golf course and her inspirational story off of it. So you don't want to miss that. We will also chat about the Greg Monroe trade rumors. We didn't get to that chat yesterday, so we'll start with that today. And we'll even have a few tickets to give away. That's right. If you want to find out how you can win a pair of tickets to go see the Michigan State men's basketball team play Eastern Michigan tonight, you do not want to touch that dial to find out how to win. Folks, we'll have all of that and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this show off like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this December 17th. All right, how about the MSU women's basketball team? Ariel Powers, she has been great all year thus far. She had 23 points last night, 7 rebounds, 5 assists as number 18 Michigan State just dominated Alcorn State 77-41 on Tuesday night at the Breslin Center. Now, Tori Jankowska also chipped in with 17 points. Becca Mills had 10 with 7 boards for the Spartans, who are now 7-2. The Spartans also shot 48% from the field. Powers was 6 of 8 from the floor, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and had 4 steals. Man, she's good. The team now hits the road to take on Baylor this Saturday. All right, now to the MSU men. The men's basketball team hope to make it 3 straight victories as they host Eastern Michigan tonight at the Breslin Center. Tip-off is set for 9 p.m., and the game can be seen on the Big Ten Network. Now, the Spartans boast a great, outstanding shooting team, leading the nation actually in 3-point field goal percentage and ranking 14th in field goal percentage, while the Eagles rank 15th nationally in field goal percentage defense. How about that? So, got a defensive power versus an offensive power. So, MSU and EMU are meeting for the 3rd time in 5 seasons. It should be a good one, folks. Again, stay tuned to see how you can win tickets possibly to that game tonight. All right, Ryan Johansson and Boone Jenner scored in the shutout. To give Columbus the Blue Jackets their 7th straight win in a 1-0 victory over the Red Wings at the Joe. Now, Detroit has now lost 4 straight. Sergei Bobrovsky, he made 28 saves for his first shutout of the season and 10th of his career. The Blue Jackets improved to 13-15-2. Jimmy Howard made 29 saves for his second shutout and 20th of his career. He has not allowed a goal in 125 minutes against Columbus this season. And the Detroit Pistons hope to shake off a road loss to the Los Angeles Clippers earlier this week, returning home tonight to host the Dallas Mavericks. Now, tip time is set for 7:30 p.m., and you can see that game on Fox Sports Detroit. All right, interesting story here. A South Florida businessman pleaded guilty on Tuesday, this morning actually, to taking part in a conspiracy to smuggle Los Angeles Dodgers star Yasiel Puig out of Cuba in return for a sizable cut of the outfielder's multi-million dollar salary. Now, Gilberto Suarez, who was 40 years old, entered the plea deal on Tuesday before U.S. District Judge Robert Scola, who set a March 6 sentencing date. Now, the alien smuggling conspiracy charge carries a maximum of 10 years in prison, although Suarez is likely to get a more lenient sentence under his plea deal with prosecutors. All right, Chicago Bears safety Chris Conte is stirring up a bit of controversy. He has suffered 2 concussions this season, but says playing in the NFL is worth the risk he takes to his long-term health by doing so. He said, quote, "As far as after football, who knows? My life will revolve around football to some point, but I'd rather have the experience of playing, and who knows? Die 10, 15 years earlier than not be able to play in the NFL and live a long life. It's something I've wanted to do with my life and I wanted to accomplish, and I'm pretty much set my whole life up to accomplish that very goal. So I don't really look toward my life after football because I'll figure things out when I get there and see how I am. Interesting statements there. All right, San Diego Chargers will stay put, folks, for another season at least. The franchise could have opted out of its lease at Qualum Stadium, but has decided to extend the agreement at least through the 2015 NFL season with the hope of getting a long-term agreement on a new publicly funded stadium. All right, and Milwaukee Bucks forward Jabari Parker is expected to miss the rest of his rookie campaign after suffering a torn ACL in his left knee. The team announced that last night. Now, Parker will have surgery after suffering a complete tear, not a sprain, which he was initially diagnosed in the third quarter of the Bucks' dramatic 96-94 win Monday night in Phoenix. Now, since being selected number two overall in June by the Bucks, Parker has emerged as a top Rookie of the Year contender. He was also a big recruit that Tom Izzo hopes to land for the Michigan State men's basketball year after Parker's senior season in high school. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick and headliners, folks. Alright, folks, again, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on any of those or just anything on your sports noggin, we open our phone lines like we do each and every episode. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot me a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. And even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I will also read your tweets here live on the air. Folks, we've got a stacked show. I'm excited about our guest that we are going to be having during the second segment of today's hour. I tell you what, she is one inspirational woman. If you have not heard her story, you are not going to want to touch that dial, folks. Liz Nagel, she was a former MSU women's golfer here. She actually graduated in May of this year and is now chasing her dream to play on the LPGA Tour. And I tell you what, she's making headway already, folks. She actually now has partial LPGA status. Now, we'll explain what partial status means and kind of break down her rankings and so on and so forth as she does try to make that dream come true to be a regular on the tour. So we'll chat with Liz later on. And I tell you what, folks, again, she's an inspirational young woman. Again, other than what she's done on the golf course, she has a story to tell because she accomplished something that, I tell you what, it's really tough to put into words, so you do not want to miss that chat, folks. Also, later on, we'll talk about those comments from Chris Conte. How about that? You know, I really was kind of taken aback when I read his comments this morning, actually. Again, if you don't know who Chris Conte is, he's a safety for the Chicago Bears football team. He suffered numerous concussions this year alone, actually two, and says that playing in the NFL is worth the risk that this game could possibly have on his long-term health. And, you know, it's really interesting because we've constantly debated here on the show the effect that concussions have years down the road on athletes who play the game of football today. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy is something that is constantly brought up left and right and is always in the conversation. I mean, we've had parents call here right on Current Sports when we posed the question, would you let your son play the game of football, knowing what you do now and the growing knowledge that continues when it comes to concussions and long-term health effects. And many parents have called in and said, no, I wouldn't let my son play the game of football because of what could possibly happen later on down the road. And to be honest, you know, me looking at all this as well, you know, I'm not a father yet, but, you know, I hope to be one day and hope to have a son. And I don't know if I would let my son play the game of football, knowing what I do know now. So, again, Chicago Bears safety Chris Conte is stirring up the pot a little bit because, again, he had some comments basically saying, hey, I love the game of football. It's always been a dream of mine since I was an infant. And hey, I'm gonna cross that bridge of dealing with possibly the long-term health effects when I get there. Right now, I'm enjoying playing the game of football. Right now, it's paying the bills. I'm not worried about it. Interesting comments from Mr. Conte. We'll dive into and talk about those as well, folks. But to start the show, it's something we didn't get to yesterday, Alex. I want to now invite the man behind the glass, Alex Shark. How you doing, Alex?
Good, man. I'm rumoring a lot today, man. There's a lot of rumors going around.
You're rumoring a lot.
Yeah.
That's never good, Alex.
No,
I hate rumors.
Good thing. Rumors are sometimes true.
Sometimes. What rumors? What are you rumoring about, Alex?
There's always rumors, man, about Scherzer, where he's going to go. There's rumors with Michigan State men's basketball. There's all kinds of rumors.
Really? I haven't heard. Okay, I'm interested when we get to that discussion in just a minute about the MSU men's basketball team. I've heard no rumors about them.
It's just chit chat, man.
Well, I can't wait to sip
the tea. Too official.
What they call it sipping the tea nowadays. I can't wait to sip that rumor tea that Alex is currently making behind the glass as we speak. But Alex, I want to start off by talking about again, we didn't get to get to this yesterday. It's a pretty interesting story that honestly has been going on for quite some time now. I mean, these talks go back to this past summer, actually, when they were first released and they were denied by, of course, you guys know what I'm talking about, Greg Monroe, Pistons big man, Pistons forward. Greg Monroe, and I tell you what, Alex, Greg Monroe, if there is anyone that you don't want to let go or cut from the team or trade or so on and so forth, it is Greg Monroe. Because Greg Monroe, I tell you what, he's been playing pretty solid this season so far. I mean, he's leading the team in points per game right now. He's a constant presence down low. I mean, if you need offense, and that's something I've always said about this Detroit Pistons team, I mean, they just can't put the ball in the basket. Their shooting numbers are among the league's worst. They can't find any penetration from their guards. But I tell you what, when you need some sort of relevant consistency, you can pretty much go to Greg Monroe, and he's going to at least get a good shot off. But again, the trade rumors, you talk about rumors, we're starting off with a rumor here. The trade rumors concerning Greg Monroe, which actually started up this past summer, have now begun once again. They actually have really gained some steam, and Greg Monroe has been asked left and right, especially looking at this West Coast trip that the Pistons had. He was asked just about after each and every game about the rumors and are they right? Are they true? Were you confirming them? Are you denying them? And Greg Monroe has constantly denied them, just like he did this past summer. But you know, it's so interesting that, you know, I was kind of a perfect segue, Alex, for you to start this discussion, because for me, I feel as though there are so many rumors out there, and again, this rumor stems all the way back to this past summer. And I just find it funny how sometimes in sports media, just in the media in general, we like to speculate a lot. You know, there's some people out there that are a part of our what we do here, Alex. But we don't do this. But there are some people in the media world, specifically the sports media world, that like to speculate a lot. They may see something in the locker room and go type something up that may be totally false, you know. And we see it so often. And again, as journalists, you know, I feel as though the medium of journalism kind of pushes the envelope in the wrong direction when it comes to juicy stories. And, you know, it's almost like they want something to happen. And I'm not saying all journalists do this, but there are a lot of them who do. It's almost like they want something to happen. They want something to write about, and they reach for it so badly that they create something that really is nothing there. And this might be another one of those stories. I mean, again, these are rumors that have been going on since earlier this year. And, you know, I guess some media forum out there had printed that Greg Monroe wants to be traded. Greg Monroe was approached by reporters about it and said, no, that is totally false. I have said nothing and addressed nothing of that nature. Even Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, he had to address it and say, no, I don't know where these talks are coming from. So I don't know where they're coming from, Alex, but again, they're coming right now. And it's really interesting because if you look at it, I think the reason why these rumors started is when you evaluate the Pistons situation, specifically coming into this season. Of course, we've talked about constantly the outlandish, overpaid contract that Josh Smith has on this team. Certainly, you can make a pretty strong argument that he is the most overpaid man in the National Basketball Association. He got paid a ridiculous contract. He's rolling in the dough, and his play doesn't contrast to the numbers. We know that. So if you got this ridiculous contract that Josh Smith is locked in, And you got your young stud, your franchise player, if you will, in Andre Drummond. If you're going to let go somebody, I guess, you know, out of the big three, as you like to call, as some people like to call them, ideally that odd man out naturally becomes Greg Monroe. And I think that's how it got started, and then it kind of just went from there. It's interesting because I think out of all three of those guys, Josh Smith, Andre Drummond, and Greg Monroe, I think Greg Monroe is having the best year, without a doubt.
Another factor to think about when you're talking about rumors is the fact that Stan Van Gundy has general manager capabilities. It does not help to see a coach doing certain actions and knowing that those actions could reflect into a front office move. Sure, you can make the case that no matter what the team, if Josh Smith gets benched, yeah, the GM probably doesn't like him or there's something maybe done about it. But it's another thing that Stan Van Gundy has that power outside of just a normal, you know, owner of a team that can really make some influential moves. So when it comes to this Greg Monroe trade rumor deal, yeah, I could see why it circulates, especially because you're interviewing Stan every day. You're seeing how he's feeling about certain players. And it's not to go to say that Stan is bashing Greg Monroe, but when it comes to certain players and the way he's playing them, that could reflect a lot on what they're doing with them, Al.
Yeah, well, as far as Stan's perception of Greg Monroe this season, I mean, Stan has said nothing to allude that Greg Monroe could be on the chopping block.
Right.
Not at all. Greg Monroe, especially on the offensive side of things, Greg Monroe has been the best in a red, white, and blue uniform. When you need offense, the Pistons have gone to him multiple times. He's had big games. Again, he's leading the Pistons in scoring at 15 a game. He's Mr. Consistency, if you want to call him that, looking at how bad this offense has been overall. I mean, but he is the most consistent guy that they have. So there's no reason for Stan Van Gundy to allude to anything about Greg Monroe not getting the job done or Greg Monroe being traded. But what ultimately it comes down to, though, Alex, for Monroe, because he's obviously, I would be annoyed if I have said nothing about me wanting to be not with the Pistons or unhappy with my situation with the Pistons. If I'm Greg Monroe and I've said nothing like that, but yet these questions and rumors keep surfacing, I tell you what, I would be a little bit angry about it. I would reach a boiling point where I'm getting ticked about this. I want to talk about what we're doing on the court. I want to talk about why we've lost 13 straight. I want to talk about why we are among the league's worst teams in the NBA and how to fix that. I don't want to talk about my future right now because I'm locked in a contract. I'll be a free agent this summer. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I don't want to talk about rumors. So if I'm Greg Monroe, I honestly would be a little unhappy with these talks surfacing and me having to answer these questions after losing games. It comes down to Monroe's happiness, though. And I ultimately think, you know, and Monroe has gone on record to say, hey, after this year, I'm going to keep a, quote, open mind. That's on record. That's what we do know. That's something that we can draw on. So we do know that Greg Monroe, yes, is going to explore free agency after this year. Will he stay? I think that depends on the success of this season, which is not getting off to a good start. The Pistons, again, I think, you know, it's interesting because I want to shout out Chris and Irv. I was actually on there. They're actually good friends of mine from college. They actually started up a sports podcast, and I was a guest on their show not too long ago. I'll tweet a link out so you guys can check out their show. It's pretty good, actually. Pretty good for a podcast. Not bad at all, man. And I tell you what, though, I was on a show, and it was interesting because we were just kind of debating it about, you know, Greg Monroe and his future with the team and the Pistons season overall. And it's just so... It's so alarming because the Detroit Pistons right now have started off the season. Again, you get this great coach in Stan Van Gundy, and you know, you look at the roster on paper, the Pistons look so great. But from what you read on the paper and what you see out there each and every night on the basketball court, it's like trying to fit a puzzle piece. It's confusing because this team should be better than it is right now. I am still a firm believer that the Pistons will win, I went on record to say, about 45 to maybe 50 games. I think that's what the Pistons will close out this season with, even though right now they are not on pace to do that. I trust that Stan Van Gundy is going to get it done. It was an interesting article written in the Detroit Free Press by, I forget who it is, but Tom Gores, actually the Pistons president, owner, I should say, excuse me. Tom Gores, you know, they asked him about the losing streak and how the season has started for the Pistons and what's the most frustrating part. And he talked about how the most frustrating part for him as an owner, looking at how the Pistons have performed this year, is watching the toll that it has taken on Stan Van Gundy thus far. He talked about, you know, watching Stan come off the court and how he really believes and really wants to see this team improve and really believes that it's going to happen. But just seeing how it hasn't happened yet and seeing the disgruntled face of Stan Van Gundy has rubbed him the wrong way a little bit. And again, I do think Stan will turn this team around. It's not like they're getting blown out. They're right there in games. It's just about late game execution with this team. But at the end of the day, if the Pistons do not turn this season around and make the playoffs, hey, if I'm Greg Monroe, I'm dipping too, man. I'm dipping. I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, it's a big season for them. But on the other side of with Greg Monroe, it's not like there haven't been other trade rumors too, man. I mean, you can make the argument that they need to trade one of their guards, or you could even say that maybe it's not Monroe, maybe Josh Smith. But at the end of the day, until someone tangibly wants him and there's some other player that's on the trading block, you can't really make a rumor like this, and this can't really be asked. It's not like there's been a rumor that Monroe is going to be traded for this person. How many times do we hear about Charlie Villanueva or Ben Gordon being rumored to be traded and nothing ended up happening? It's not the first time this has happened.
Yeah, and you know what? Looking at it, you know, again, it's been rumored that Miami may be interested in Greg Monroe. There are going to be teams. Once Greg Monroe hits the trading block,
who would Miami trade for him?
Who knows? Who knows?
But that's the thing. It's the rumor cap. Mill. They're not even going to be over the cap for that.
But I tell you what, if Monroe keeps playing the way he's playing, there are going to be multiple teams that are interested in Greg Monroe, without a doubt. I mean, Greg Monroe is going to have his pick of teams out there that want to have him on their ball club because he is shining right now. Greg Monroe is a shining star in a dark situation.
But that's the thing. I don't get that. If he's shining, then why would you trade a player who's good? Don't you keep your good talent in-house?
Well, again, I mean, that's locked it with the Josh Smith contract and not trading your franchise player in Andre Drummond. I mean, when you talk about big guys, I mean, he's naturally the odd man out. Simple as that. I mean, you're not going to trade Andre Drummond. Let's be crazy here. You're not going to have to waste all that money that you're paying Josh Smith and let him go. I mean, so it naturally puts Greg Monroe in that situation. Folks, what do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Do you think Greg Monroe will stay with this franchise if they have a down year? Interested to hear your thoughts on that. All right, let's transition now. Let's talk some MSU men's basketball, folks. Exciting game tonight as Eastern Michigan makes the trip from Ypsilanti to East Lansing. The men's basketball team, again, they hope to make it three straight victories as they host EMU at the Briz tonight. Tip-off is set for 9 p.m. The game will be broadcast on Big Ten Network. Now, again, the Spartans, again, they're a fantastic shooting team. They actually lead the nation in three-point field goal percentage and rank 14th in field goal percentage. So Michigan State offensively is definitely turning some heads. When you got the Eagles, on the other hand, they've had a pretty admirable year thus far. I mean, they had the big win at Chrysler Arena against Michigan. Michigan having such a down year. Right after they had lost to New Jersey Institute of Technology, they play EMU. They lose to Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan has a very talented team. I think this is going to be a game to look at, and definitely a game that's going to, I think, test the Spartans a little bit. Best comes back tonight. I'm interested to see how Javon Best is going to change this MSU offense and defense, to be quite frank with you, because we haven't seen him play yet this season. What are you looking forward to the most out of this game, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, Best is a bigger forward. I'm probably looking for him to go inside. It makes the most sense. Tom Izzo has said it. He said it last game. He said it when they literally clamped down on Oakland, that, yeah, they're still settling a little bit for that three. For Javon Best, it's another big guy. You just have to look to go inside. What about you?
Yeah, well, for me, again, I want to see Michigan State open up things offensively. Like, as you just said, I feel as though they shoot, again, and they're leading the nation. They are leading the nation in three-point field goal percentage. So this team can shoot, but I always say, if you live by the three, and you heard this saying before, if you live by the three, you die by the three. You live by the jump shot, you die by the jump shot. If Michigan State wants to make that next level in its offensive efficiency, they have to be a balanced team offensively. They can't shoot that amount of threes every single game and be on the money each and every game. At some point, you're going to have games where you're going to be off, when that jump shot is just not falling. What is your plan B? In Michigan State right now, I just don't feel as though they have that plan B. They don't have that go-to guy. I think that go-to guy can be Denzel Valentine for them. I think Denzel Valentine, you know, looking at his off-season workout, I mean, I think Izzo went on record to say that Denzel Valentine, I mean, he was a gym rat. I mean, he worked his butt off more than anybody on the team to improve his game from last year to this year. Denzel Valentine has shown glimpses that he can be the guy you go to when you need a bucket, when everybody else seems to be struggling, and he can be a guy that could possibly get you those 2 points or drill it from the 3-point land. I mean, he's shown that in multiple games this season. Specifically, I like to go back to that Notre Dame game. I mean, my goodness, you know, those 3-pointers really, really became a momentum rallying point for Michigan State. So I think Denzel can be that guy. But other than that, I mean, what is your plan B for Michigan State? I mean, Brandon Dawson, he's a little inconsistent from time to time. I mean, Brandon Dawson, I think, is the X factor of this team. When he has big games, Michigan State wins. Simple as that. But as far as that slasher, that slashing guard presence that can also score, that Keith Appling-type presence, Michigan State hasn't found that yet. And you know what? I'm kind of shocked because I thought that I would find it this season in Tum Tum. Because looking at the scouting reports on Tum Tum before this year started, you know, it painted him as a guy who loves to slash into the paint, a guy who knows his way around the rim once he gets to the paint, who can create some contact, possibly get to the foul line, and get those easy layups if he doesn't get fouled. But I haven't seen that from Tum Tum. I don't know, maybe it's a confidence thing with Tum Tum being new to this team. I don't know if he's catering to other offensive personnel on that team and not looking for a shot, because right now he just doesn't look like a confident guy who is looking for his own offense. So I don't know. Maybe Tum Tum can be that guy. Maybe Izzo is talking to him in that regard to be that guy, be that slashing type of guard. But we haven't seen that yet. Knowing, you know, what I've read on Bess to start this year, and even before this year, Bess is a guy, again, like as you alluded to, Alex, a guy who can go in the paint and get you some scoring. And possibly will open up things for the guards to possibly slash to the rim or get wide open jumpers. It's going to be interesting, though. How he fits into this offensive scheme is going to be very interesting. And Michigan State defensively as well. I still think this team still isn't where it needs to be defensively. Specifically from the guards, I would like to see, you know, I want to see Denzel Valentine, Travis Trice, Bryn Forbes. I want to see those guys really play lockdown defense tonight, and possibly maybe this game will be a trickle-down effect to that defensive presence from the guards, more specifically. So it's going to be an interesting game, though. Don't sleep on EMU. Everybody is sort of crowning this team as one of the best EMU teams in years, going back to the Earl Boykins years. People have been comparing this EMU team back to the Earl Boykins era.
You got 20. You had 22 wins last year, NCAA tournament bound probably this year. You got to give them credit, man. And that's the thing. Yeah. You beat Michigan, you hold them under 50 points. Michigan State, I think, offensively has their hands cut out for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game. Again, folks, if you want to win tickets to tonight's MSU and Eastern Michigan game, again, tip-off is set for 9 p.m. Hey, Alex, let's go with caller number one. Caller number one will win those tickets. So if you want to go check out the game tonight, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, so let's hit our first break again. When we come back, I'll be chatting with one of the most inspirational athletes I've ever talked to. Her name is Liz Nagel. She's a former MSU women's golfer who is trying to make her dream of playing in the LPGA Tour come true. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Definitely want to make some quick shout-outs really briefly. I want to shout out my man, Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Big Country FM. Eric and I actually broadcasted the Langsburg and Fowler boys basketball game last night. That was a fun game to be at. It came down to the wire, actually came down to the final minute. Fowler had a chance to possibly tie things up and send it into overtime or even take the lead multiple times throughout that final minute, but they couldn't get the job done. Still a very talented team from Eric Burr and company. But Langsburg, how about Langsburg getting a big win over Fowler yesterday? They now start the season off 2-0, so shout out to them. And so also some more boys hoop action. I mean, East Lansing, they fell to Hazlitt last night. Brandon Allen had 27 points and 3 assists to lead Hazard, who is also now 2-0 to a non-league win over East Lansing. East Lansing, you know, I tell you what, even though they're 1-2, you watch out for this team. Again, we had East Lansing head coach Steve Fenimore on the show last week. And yeah, they're pretty talented. So I tell you what, don't buy into that 1-2 record. We'll talk when March approaches, okay? So, but yeah, a lot of action last night. Girls also played last night. Gotta love Tuesdays and Fridays, man. Gotta love them. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Certainly excited to have her on the show for the first time. Again, she has a foot in the LPGA door right now, folks. Liz Nagel, the DeWitt graduate and former Michigan State golfer, has earned partial status on the LPGA Tour for the 2015 year after finishing tied for 35th in the final stage of qualifying earlier this month in Daytona Beach, Florida. Now, Nagel carded an even par 360 during the 5-round final stage of the LPGA qualifying tournament to earn priority list Category 17 status. Now, to explain what that means, she's here right now on Current Sports to explain all of that and so much more. Liz, thanks a lot for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, this is exciting. This has to be an exciting time for you. I want to talk about, again, earlier this month in the LPGA qualifying tourney, and what does it mean to earn partial status? Can you break that down for listeners like me who are kind of confused?
I'm confused myself. I can't really explain what it, I mean, I can give you an overview, but I won't even know what it means really, you know, until the year's over.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I'll kind of get into tournaments as the year goes on. The LPGA is done by a priority list. So currently, you know, number one on the priority list is, you know, Stacey Lewis, who obviously was player of the year, you know, and earned that ranking. And then it goes all the way down to like number 500.
Wow, 500.
I'm even beyond that, you know, because they have all the former players who still have a spot. But I'll be number 186. So each LPGA event, the fields are between about 120 to 150, sometimes 160 people. And the girls don't play every week. You know, a lot of girls pick and choose their schedule, you know, those that are the better players in the world, and they don't want to play golf every week. So that's when possibly my name and number will get called. Mm-hmm. Under Category 17, a lot of girls previously have gotten into 10 to 15 events, so that would be the best-case scenario. I also have full-time status on the Symetra Tour, which is called the Road to the LPGA, and it's also a very respectable tour, and it's really growing. So what the commissioner told us at LPGA orientation was that, you know, the LPGA has grown so much in the last 5 years, and he's done so much work to get it to this point that there are a lot more events. The fields are bigger, the sponsors are more, the purses are more, and, you know, it's really growing. So the opportunity for even girls that are under my category of status still will have a lot of chances to get in tournaments. So I'm really excited about it. I know that it's not full-time, but as a rookie, full-time status is kind of an intimidating thing as it is.
Why is that intimidating, Liz?
Well, if I were to have full-time status, I mean, there's over 30 events on tour. And, just the first couple weeks, it's Florida, Bahamas, Singapore, Malaysia, Australia. I mean, all, wow. You know, kind of in a different order. So it's very overwhelming. There's a lot that goes on. And as a rookie, you know, I've talked to a lot of people through Michigan State and girls that have gone to go on, play on tour and people that I know and friends and coaches and things. And, you know, their rookie year, very rarely are they prepared for what hits them, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I almost am thankful for the part-time status, because this way I'll get my foot in the door, like you said, you know, in the LPGA, and when the opportunity comes to play, I'll be ready and I'll be excited versus, you know, playing every week and putting myself through this new experience and maybe being a little bit overwhelmed with too much of a schedule. So I guess the way that, you know, my family and I are looking at it is quality and not quantity, and that way, you know, I almost appreciate it more when I get those opportunities and I can mix in the LPGA and the Symetra, and it'll be a good balance, I think. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, Liz, for you, I mean, have you seen rookies that are thrown into that fire in that rigorous schedule just kind of jump right into it and fail? And have you talked to them at all? And if so, what kind of advice have they given you, if any?
Yeah, you know, a lot of rookies, specifically a few that have gone through Michigan State and have gotten their status right away like I did, you know, they said that they almost wish they would have gotten less status, just because it's such a looming, you know, kind of thing that everybody talks about, the LPGA. I want my tour card. I want to play. You know, everybody wants it so badly. But who knows if they're really ready for that? And I guess you don't know until you're there. But I think that it's just, you know, a lot of people have told me that you kind of have to make your own life with the LPGA and with golf. And this is my career now, and I want it to be my career. But you have to live your life with golf, you know, in it, and not let golf ruin your life. You have to work out and be with your family, and, you know, travel plans have to work. And, you know, you can't try to fit too much into that schedule. You know, you can't overdo it, because then you're going to burn yourself out, and you're not going to want to play in more events and have more opportunities to make money. So you really have to find that balance. I think that's the best advice I've gotten from a few people, is to make it my own and to not let it, you know, take me over or take over me and my schedule, my family. I got to kind of, you know, do what works for me.
Gotcha. Now, Liz, with your position on that waiting list, so to speak, I mean, how long do you think it will be until you get that call to play in a tournament?
It's not necessarily a length of time, you know, it's certain fields versus other fields. So
okay.
I was told, you know, the very first tournament, they'll open up in the down in Ocala, Florida at the end of January. And that field will actually be a smaller field due to it's a brand new tournament, first year tournament. And because of the shortened daylight, because we're getting into less daylight here down in Florida. So it'll be about 120 people in the field, which is a smaller field. So my chance is a little bit better to get into that, because a lot of the players that play more don't want to start their season so early. They want a little more time off. So because of that, I have a little better chance of that one. But then shortly after that is the Australian Open.
Okay.
And in Australia, they have a bigger field, and a lot of girls skip that event because they head to Asia, because then there's a small Asia swing in Malaysia and Singapore and up there. So I've been told that I have a pretty good chance of getting into Asia, and then there's also a Bahamas tournament that's a possibility. So, you know what, there's really no definite answer. I really don't know. It's kind of hard to, you know, talk to people like you and just say what's ahead of me, but all I can say is that it's going to keep me on my toes, and I'm kind of happy about that, because I was so used to that, you know, in college and struggling things and Michigan State. So I think I'm good at it, and I'm a planner at heart. So I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I think that there's going to be a lot of experiences, you know, that I'll learn from, and it's all about 2016. I got to try to play well enough when I have the opportunity to retain my card for 2016. So it's not even really about 2015 as much, which I hate saying that, but
right.
You know, I really want to stay here. I don't want to go back and have to re-earn it.
And I tell you what, Liz, I mean, just us talking in what, the 7 minutes that we've been chatting, I mean, you've mentioned Australia, the Bahamas, Florida. You got me in dreamland right now. I mean, it's got to be pretty cool to be a golfer. My goodness.
It's a pretty good life to be a golfer, yes. you know, the PGA stays more in the United States, and the LPGA, I mean, it's broadcast in 170 countries, and it's represented by over 100 countries on the tour. So it's a little more international. And there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of different girls all over the world. So it's more competitive because of that. But I think that it also brings a great thing to women's golf, and it's really growing. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I've already met so many girls that are from all over the world, and I can't wait to travel to those places, because I've never really been outside the country except for Canada.
Oh, wow.
don't tell anybody.
Oh, man. Whoop, the cat's out the bag now, Liz.
Yeah, so I have a passport, you know, thank goodness for that. But
right.
I'm ready. You know, I never know when my name's going to be called. And I did mention those out of the country tournaments, but there are quite a few in the U.S. You know, there's a swing over in California and Texas, and then there's one in Grand Rapids, Michigan. There's going to be a couple of Symetra tournaments in Michigan also, and there's, you know, Ohio and Wisconsin, and there's a couple of other tournaments there in the Midwest. So I'm really hoping I get into those, and if not, I'll try to qualify for those, because I hope my family can come watch as much as possible.
Oh, that's great stuff. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with former MSU women's golfer Liz Nagel. She's also a DeWitt graduate. And speaking of family, Liz, I mean, you being down in Florida, again, you're from right here in Michigan, you're a DeWitt graduate. I mean, do you ever get homesick?
Well, luckily for Q School, it was those three tournaments for such a big journey, and my dad was able to caddy for me.
Oh, nice.
My dad, he's a golf professional out at Centennial Acres in Grand Ledge, and he you know, he teaches me. He's my teacher and my coach and basically everything. You know, I've never really had much of a lesson outside of what he's taught me, and he's PGA certified and all those things. So I really am thankful that he was able to caddy for me. And yeah, I mean, I do miss my family. I miss my dog, you know, and all my friends and everything. But that's the thing about college golf is you get so used to going every week and traveling so much. And you almost just, you know, you don't think about it until you're back home. You just take care of business and come back, and they'll always be there for you. And hopefully they can come watch. You know, my grandma and my grandpa, they come a lot. They love to travel, and hopefully my mom and my two siblings can come too. That would be great, especially down in the Bahamas and some of those fun ones.
Oh, yeah, without it, I'm sure they'll be the first ones on the plane. My goodness, that's great stuff, Liz. Now, Liz, when you talk about this whole thing, I mean, when you get the opportunity to play in an LPGA event, I mean, how critical is it for you and others who do get that opportunity as well? How critical is it to have a strong outing? And if you don't, I mean, what happens then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've kind of said, and you mentioned it too, the foot in the door thing. You know, when you get that opportunity and you get your foot in the door, my coach at Michigan State said to me, it's so important, you know, to widen that door and to open it up. And that's why I kind of think about the quality instead of the quantity, because I think that, you know, I'll be more ready. I won't be as tired or as wiped out, or I don't know if you want to say burnout or, you know, whatever. But mm-hmm. I think I'll really value those opportunities more when I do get them. And I'm hoping that you know, my game's ready. It really came a long way, you know, this past year. And going through Q school, you're really tested, you know, mentally and physically with your golf game. So I think I've taught myself and I've proved to myself that I'm ready to hang with the best in the world. And I'm excited for that. You know, I'm really looking forward to measuring up with those girls and to see if my best is, you know, better than their best. So kind of all part of the process. You know, you can't really look too far forward. You got to stay in the moment. That's a huge thing.
Well, I certainly look forward, and many out there listening will certainly be you know, glued to the LPGA Tour and just following you. And you'll get there, Liz. You just put it into existence right now. You'll get there. That'd be great stuff. Now, I want to kind of shift gears here, Liz, because, you know, I tell you what, you have such an inspirational story. Such an inspirational story. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here with the date. I believe you were diagnosed with thyroid cancer in November of 2012. And mm-hmm. had surgery in late December of 2012. Is that right?
Yeah, I had surgery 2 days after Christmas, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Now, how did you find out that you were diagnosed with cancer? And what were your initial thoughts, Liz?
I was really sick with sort of a cold and a cough. And at Michigan State, we were in the off season of working out basically 5 days a week. And you know, I looked at my coach who you know, knows all of us so well and knows me. And she said, Liz, you just look terrible. And I was coughing up a storm and I just felt terrible. So I showed up to the workout and she said, you're not working out. Go see the doctor. And I went to see the team doctor, Dr. Covan, who's currently the, you know, one of the biggest doctors for Michigan State and works with the basketball team. And he's so great at what he does. And he just briefly looked at my lymph nodes and felt my neck a little bit, you know, very routine check because I just didn't feel so well. And I was really, really swollen. My neck was very swollen, which is typical. But for some reason, he thought that one side of my neck was overly swollen. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting it checked and biopsied. You know, and long story short, I found out basically just 2 weeks later that it was cancerous. And I didn't know how much. I didn't know exactly where it was. I just knew that it was around my thyroid. And it seemed to be quite a bit. I you know, I didn't know a lot about it. When you hear that cancer word, you kind of panic. Mm-hmm. And now to this day, my dad gives me a hard time because one of the first things I said was, how long is it going to take? When can I play golf again? And to be honest with you, I don't even remember that moment. It must have really just been my gut, just, you know,
just
my
in
gut
your blood.
And I just said it. Yeah, because I don't know. I can feel the feeling in my stomach to this day because it was so terrible. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, you know, and different kinds of adversity and the sort. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be referred down to University of Michigan, which I never thought I'd say that was lucky because I'm Spartan, but it was great. It was a great experience for me down there, and they've still been good to me. I actually have an appointment there next week, and I had surgery 2 days after Christmas, which wasn't the best thing to look forward to around the holiday, but I had to take care of business so I could get back and golf as soon as I could, and I only missed one event at Michigan State, and I ended up playing, I think my surgery was in December, and I played in in March. Yeah, I played in March. Mm-hmm. And I had to have a treatment in February. Kind of not a chemo treatment, but kind of like an iodine treatment that they do for the thyroid cancer. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit long-winded. I don't know what else can I say.
I tell you what. So what's the status right now of the cancer?
I found out just before Christmas last year that I was cancer-free. So
oh, that's fantastic.
They tell you you're cancer-free, and you know it's a big relief and everything. But with the thyroid being so close, you know, to the esophagus and the lungs, and with breast cancer being such a big thing, I mean, I've heard stories, and a lot of people say you really have to watch it because it does grow quickly. But I don't have a thyroid anymore, and my lump was the size of a golf ball that they took out. So
wow.
It's kind of ironic, but.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be in there for quite a long time. It kind of lodged itself, you know, way down in my neck, and I was just really thankful that everything went well. You know, I mean, with those surgeries, you never know, and I seem to have a pretty good comeback after that. I played some of my best golf of my life shortly after that, so, you know, it puts everything into perspective, and like I said, I'm really thankful for the University of Michigan and the health team there, and my family and my coach and everybody that supported me so much to come back from that.
Wow, what a story, Liz. Now, and you talk about that perseverance through cancer. You kind of mentioned golf there because after, you know, this whole thing went down, I mean, you played some of the best golf of your life. I mean, how did your perseverance through cancer and beating cancer transcend to your success on the golf course?
Yeah, like I said, it puts everything into perspective. And I can tell you firsthand that a lot of these girls out here, you know, like I said, all over the country, golf is their life. And golf is kind of, you know, their end all and their be all, and it defines them, you know, and it's so important to them. And it was like that for me. And I don't want to say that it's not anymore, but it really puts things into perspective. And anybody that has gone through something of the sort that has been concerned about their life and been concerned about possibly not being healthy enough to do what they love, I mean, you just appreciate it more, and you appreciate the process and the practice and those days that may have been tedious and, you know, and tough to get through and all those little things that might drive you nuts about golf. You know, now I almost look at it as, well, I'm really glad that I get to feel that way about golf and
yeah.
Struggle with those, you know, those hardships. So it does, it puts it in perspective. And I think that because of it, I'm even more thankful for this experience and I won't take it for granted at all. You know, I'm never going to feel that feeling again of, oh, I wish I could have a day off, because I think that for a while there, especially when I was in the hospital, you know, I'm like, this is just terrible. And no one that's an athlete at heart wants to sit up, you know, in a hospital bed or have a treatment or anything. So it was a long journey, and I'm glad that it's over, obviously. But I learned a lot from it, and I learned a lot about myself. So it's a better thing from it, definitely.
That's such a great message, Liz. And, you know, if there are any listeners out there listening who are currently battling through this heinous disease, if there are any cancer victims out there right now, through the speakers, through the airwaves, I mean, what would you want to say to them right now, Liz?
Wow. I guess I would say that, you know, I was lucky enough to have the best version of cancer, but everything you go through, whether it's cancer or losing a loved one, which I also did last year, or any types of hardships, I mean, you have to stick through it. And what I did more than anything was really, you know, confide in the people around me and my family and my friends. And if it weren't for them and my coach and my teammates, you know, and everybody, I wouldn't have made it through. So that's the biggest thing I can say is to just spend as much time around them as you can and find the support from your family that you can, because I mean, without them, you're not going to make it through. And especially around times around the holidays. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that might be in the hospital right now that really don't want to spend the holiday in the hospital, but or anywhere, you know, that's not their home. But you really just got to stick with it, and you have to believe that there are better things out there and keep pushing through. You know, I mean, I did, and I'm really happy that I chose not to give up, because now I get to have a great year and play on the LPGA Tour, which has always been my dream.
Liz Nagel, she is one of a kind, folks. Well, Liz, when is your next event for those out there?
I'm planning on hopefully getting into the Florida tournament at the end of January. And if I don't, I'm still going to be down there practicing. And I'll head down there after the holidays. And then maybe I can try and Monday qualify and try and get into that field via the qualifier. So we'll see.
All right, Liz Nagel, former MSU women's golfer who has now gone on to earn her partial LPGA status. Hey, Liz, we wish you all the best on behalf of all of us here at WKAR.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Liz. All right, folks. Well, let's hit our first break. Our second break, I should say. After this, we'll wrap up the show by giving you our thoughts on a certain Bears safety and some controversial comments he had concerning the NFL and concussions. You also hear our thoughts on Kobe passing the great Michael Jordan on the all-time NBA scoring list, all of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Alex, I forgot. What is it? It's Wednesday, so that means World Wednesday. So that's some music from, where is that from, man?
Some Italian music, man.
Some Italian music. Gotta love that. Gotta love that, man. And do we have a winner for the tickets?
We do. We have the winner. Eitan Kadar is his name, from East Lansing, Michigan, calling, listening. So congrats to him. We'll give him a call after the show.
Eitan, my man. All right, congratulations. He'll be enjoying the MSU and EMU game tonight. All right, folks. Well, we have about 8 minutes left in today's Current Sports. You know, there were some interesting comments made by a certain Chicago Bears safety by the name of Chris Conte. Now, Chris has an interesting, it has been having an interesting season when it comes to being on the injury list, seeing as though he has had two concussions already this season. But he says that playing in the NFL is worth the risk he takes to his long-term health. Interesting. He says this, quote, "As far as after football, who knows? My life will revolve around football to some point, but I'd rather have the experience of playing and, who knows, die 10, 15 years earlier than not be able to play in the NFL and live a long life. It's something I've wanted to do with my life and I wanted to accomplish, and I'm pretty much set my whole life up to accomplish that very goal. So I don't really look toward my life after football because I'll figure things out when I get there and see how I am." Alex, these are comments that have been drawing up a lot of discussion because basically it seems as though the tone that you get from these comments is that Chris Conte is basically saying, if I die, I die. Who cares? You know what I mean? Who cares about concussions right now? You know what I mean? I'm playing the game I love, making a ton of money. I'm living out a dream. I don't care what's going to happen at this moment, 10 to 15 years down the line. It's interesting because, many people have said, I've been appalled by it and said, I mean, it sounds like the guy basically doesn't care about his life. And it's interesting because, you know, NFL players out there, and not even NFL players, people who play the game of football, especially now, really know what this game could possibly do to them if they continue playing and the long-term health effects that it could have on them years down the line based on the whole concussion settlement and the concussion ordeal, based on documentaries like The League of Denial, which basically, you know, highlighted chronic traumatic encephalopathy and broke that whole thing down. People are starting to know the risk that playing football or playing any contact sport and having any concussion for that matter could have years down the line on an individual. It's interesting because football players know this, yet there are many out there who still play the game. Many people out there, especially in the pros, play because it's their form of making a living. They get paid millions of dollars to play this game. It's how they put food on the table. It is how they make a living out there. But there are some out there, again, who have not reached that level yet, who still know that they are at risk, not even just for concussions, but any. A football player knows what they sign up for. That's basically what I'm saying here. You know that every time you put on that helmet and you go out there on the gridiron, you have a chance of, you know, breaking a leg. You have a chance of, you know, having joint problems later on after your career is said and done. They know the risk. But this is interesting because with this whole concussion discussion, Alex, football players specifically are starting to panic, because they're starting to see that this could take years off of their life. Anytime that you're talking about cutting your lifespan down in any way, shape, or form, that is something to take note of and to something to turn your head and say, whoa, what are we doing here? So the fact that Chris Conte is coming out and saying and made these comments, I just think he's kind of a knucklehead, man. I mean, that's the kind of ignorant, arrogant, and outlandish to a degree. What do you think about it?
In the public eye, I definitely see what you mean. But I kind of hear him as it's more of a self-help, yeah, I met my goal kind of thing, where You don't want to tell yourself that what you worked your whole life for isn't worth it. Let's say basketball for in the future had all these kinds of injuries. You think that, you know, days and days in the gym with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, all these guys that have spent their whole lives, they're going to tell themselves that they met their goal and they did what they needed to do to get where they are today. But I agree, it doesn't mean disowning the fact that the head injuries are still a concern. Do you follow me, Al?
I hear what you're saying. You know, these players, again, who, again, I mean, they go out there and they put 120% effort. They know that they're at risk now.
Right.
But the thing that makes this just so interesting is that football players back in the day, though, Alex, didn't know the risk. This is really recently, you know, as of about a year or two ago now, that you started to see and evidence started to come out that if you do play this game, there are some long-term health effects that could really drive you insane.
Right.
CTE can drive you insane. We've seen multiple NFL players commit suicide. They're trying to link aggression with CTE now. So, you know, with the whole domestic violence cases, you know, that are happening and occurring a lot in the NFL, they're starting to link that possibly with CTE now. So it's not until recently that you're starting to see concussions and you playing the game of football have a hand in taking years possibly off your life. So it's interesting in that regard, but I do see the angle that you're coming from. Players who play the game of football don't want to think about the notion that they're good at this game, they're talented at this game, but I could die playing it. I mean, they don't want their career to be looked at as worthless.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing is, they don't. But it's something that you can hold to yourself. It's not something that you go out on the public eye and say something. You follow me? Like that. I agree with what he's saying.
And
like,
I don't know if he was asked this question or if it just came off his heart.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Was it a specific question like that? I don't know.
But does it matter, though? I mean, his response really just takes the cake, though. And that becomes the focal point of why we're even having this discussion here on Current Sports. Because, I mean, it was a reckless statement to basically say, we'll cross that bridge if I get there. You know what I mean?
But, you know, this happens all the time where people in med school and even journalists, they say it's worth the stress. Yeah, I'm taking years off my life, but it's worth the stress for me to do what I love to do. And that passion, that unforeseen passion and love, sometimes you just can't get around that.
Interesting
stuff.
But
you know that happens a lot today.
Yeah.
Even journalists, med school students, law students, they know that the stress is really taking a toll on them, and it's even worth it for them to keep doing what they're doing.
But not to the point that it... Not to this extreme, this extremity, though.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about CTE.
It's still a similar thought process, though.
It is a similar thought process, but I think it's a bit different because, again, CTE is one of those things. I mean, you could go suicidal. You know, you could lose your mind on this thing. So, really interesting stuff. Really quickly, Alex, I've been tabling this discussion for a while now. We still haven't gotten to it. Kobe passing Jordan on the NBA scoring list. Do you rank Kobe in your top 10 of all time?
I think you have to now. What about you?
I put him in my top 10. Okay, interesting to hear your response on that. We'll table that discussion, put it on tomorrow's Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Shout out to Liz Nagel, my guest on today's Current Sports, former MSU women's golfer who has earned partial LPGA status. How about that? She's such an inspiration, folks. Thanks a lot, Liz. Again, take care. Have a fantastic day. Again, don't miss Current Sports tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Later on today, I'll be sitting down with Mike Ball, fitness trainer who's going to show you how to stay fit while still binge eating, over the holiday weekend. Take care and be easy, people.